The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 28th, right? It's 28th day.
27th.
It's 27th?
27th.
That's right, it is. I missed a day. All righty, there you go. You know, you just heard the intro, right? And you and I are responsible for the content of this program. So, like, if I mess up, you're responsible too.
All right, I'll take that burden.
Okay, there you go. That is my highly, highly professional and reliable producer and co-host style.
Hey, right. Pastor, how are you?
That's a good question. We've had some strange events lately. But anyhow, and I guess you heard about what happened last Friday night. If you didn't, you should have. It was unusual. But anyhow, the title of the message tonight is Memorials Established by God and by Man. And so we're going to take a look at memorials. If I was to say to you, what is a memorial, Style, what would you say? Oh, if I was to say unto you, what is the definition? What is a memorial?
To honor, to pay respect.
Well, that's good. It's things established to commemorate an event or a truth. That's the dictionary's definition of memorial. Anyhow, we're going to take a look at those. Three of them established by God, three established by man. And we're going to start tonight right in Exodus chapter 12. Are you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Okay. Exodus chapter 12, we started with verse 1. And we'll go through there. Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the month, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, that month that he was talking about was the month of Abib, and that's the month we call April today. And so he goes on to say, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you your count for the lamb. So what ways do you think a household would be too small for a lamb?
I'm not sure.
Well, what if it was just, let's just say, a young man your age and a young woman and maybe an infant child? Or what about just say a single mom or a single dad? Okay. So you just have two, and then next door, you've got another single mom or single dad living there, or you got maybe a young couple with just one child. So what do? You combine that, and you take this one lamb, and your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You should take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Okay, now, we got something here. There's a lot of symbolism in this verse. Now listen carefully, okay? Your lamb shall be without blemish. So what does that mean? Okay, first we're taking a look at the lamb. Who is the Lamb of God? That's the Lord Jesus. Right. He's the Lamb of God, and without blemish means to be sinless. So the symbolism is, you see, the whole point, this is looking towards Calvary. This is pointing towards Calvary, okay? And so, and it has to be a male. It has to be a male, perfect male, a sinless lamb. And it's got to be of the first fruits. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Okay. What happened with Christ? He was put on trial. He was tried and held. And here, even in the wilderness, you know, for 40 days, he was tested. But here, when did his trials take place?
Well, during the evenings, right?
At night, yeah. Okay, so, and you should kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. Now, I'm going to read this very slowly here. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. So they took hyssop, and they would take the hyssop, and they would take that and use that to strike the blood of the lamb. Now they struck it on the two side and above, on the upper post. Where did they not strike it?
Below.
Below. And why does it tell you in Hebrews that the blood should be what? Not trodden underfoot. The blood should not be trodden underfoot. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Okay, so here, of course, when we look at this unleavened bread, in other words, this is the sacrificial lamb. And, of course, unleavened bread means bread without any yeast, okay? Leaven. Because leaven, what was the symbolism? Do you remember the symbolism of Passover? Required the absence of leaven, which always in the Bible is to symbolize corruption influence. Leaven is always associated with fermentation. And fermentation is simply, it's the process of decay. That means something's rotting, right? Remember when the Lord Jesus made at the wedding Cana, and they needed wine, his mother told him, and he made wine when that wine had no leaven in it, and it was the best there. And so here, in order, to get today, if you make bread, they put leaven to make the bread rise. When they make wine, they use that and whiskey to make it ferment. For the fermentation. So he goes on to say, eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Do you know what the pertinence is?
What's that?
That's your intestines, your entrails.
Oh.
And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. Now listen to this, because again, there's a message there, and I'm sure you'll pick up on this one. And you shall eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So why do you think you ate it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's because here, this is the Exodus. This is the Passover, remember? And then they were taken, they had to be ready to leave at any time because the death angel was about to come. And do you know what happened when the death angel? Well, let's read on. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Okay, so he's talking about the firstborn males, both humans and of animals too, the very firstborn of each household. And that included who? That included Pharaoh. And so how do you think Pharaoh was going to take that? He was going to get mad at somebody, and he couldn't touch God, right. So who was he going to go after?
He's going to take it out on the people.
Yeah, he was going to go after the Jews, huh? And he goes on, and he says, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood should be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And here you go. This is the first memorial established by God. And you should keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You should keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Are the Jews still keeping that as a feast today? Oh, absolutely. The Passover, yeah. In fact, not only do the Jews do it, but often you'll have what you call Messianic Jews.
Right.
They'll come, and we've had several times at our church where they've come, and we've put on a Seder dinner at the church there over the years. And, you know, you go through, it's a symbolic, you go through all of this, what we're reading here, in fact. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven, excuse me, out of your house forever. Whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul should be cut off from Israel. What do you think it meant when he says to be cut off from Israel?
I don't know.
When you get cut off, you become room temperature.
That's fair.
So, and at the first day, there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of the work shall be done to them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your enemies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by the ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and the 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened upon, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall you eat unleavened bread. And so here, again, leaven was a sign of corruption and sin. And then, so that was the very first. The next memorial that was instituted by God, we find over in Exodus chapter 16. And in Exodus chapter 16, here, that is the memorial of manna, the bread from heaven. And we start here in verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was likened to coriander seed, white, and the taste of it as a, it was like wafers made with honey. Now, the interesting thing was this, that here, people have been trying to duplicate that for years and years and years. They've tried to make manna, and they can't. Manna was a supernatural food. You know, I had to go back and just read here. And I think I will give you a little bit more history on manna, but because it was a supernatural food. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For, do you know what that word manna means?
What's it mean?
Bread of life. That's what it was talking about. And it was talking about, he said, to one to another, it was manna, for it was not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And this is that which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it up, every man according to his eating, to an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, like every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did, made it out with an omer. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it until morning. How long do you think they ate this manna?
I don't know.
They ate it for 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness. And he goes on to say, notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left off until morning, and it bred worms and stink, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers of one man, and the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Why do you think they gathered twice as much on the sixth day?
Why is that?
Because on the seventh day was the Sabbath, and they weren't allowed to do anything. They had to even prepare their food and everything the day before the Sabbath.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and he that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink. Neither was, you know, that's always great to have food that doesn't stink, right?
Yeah, I prefer that.
Yeah. And neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, eat this today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is in the Sabbath, it is there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore you shall. He giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill omers of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you from the brought forth out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put on an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for the generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up, therefore the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the quarters, to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. So now, picture this. You're wandering out in the wilderness for 40 years, and God's feeding you manna. And everybody stayed healthy. Everybody stayed healthy. So this was a supernatural food. Some other things happened while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Where do you think they shop for clothes?
I don't think they do.
No, but their clothes didn't wear out. And the interesting thing, as the children grew, their clothes grew with them. And, you know, they didn't have any place to buy shoes. But their shoes didn't wear out. Now, who could do that?
No one that I know.
Not even Elon Musk, right?
No.
And so, with that, we'll go to a break. Be right back.
I am the unknown soldier. Some call me MIA. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find. I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture's upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore, long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy. I was someone's pride and joy. I was someone's tender lover, a worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home? For I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God.
that somehow he'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow he'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cried. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands. Only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I'm the unknown soldier. The one you bought and sold. I'm the one you bought and sold. So lay down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW, some called me MIA. Some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
All righty, we're back, and boy, does that song bring memories to me. I had so many friends that died in that war that we were never allowed to win. Boy, and sometimes when I think back, it makes me so angry. And names like McNamara that came up, and others, but my only thing is that those fellows, I just pray that they all knew the Lord before they died. Anyhow, one of the Democrats' lawfare goals in their coordinated campaign of criminal and civil cases against President Trump over the last 8 or 9 years has been to make it too costly for him that he'd just give up and walk away. The fraud case brought against Trump by leftist New York attorney Letitia James, in which the victim said they lost no money and they would like to do business with Trump, as a case in point. The case resulted in a penalty from the leftist judge whose family ties to the issue never have been resolved, a penalty of nearly half a billion dollars, despite there being no damages in the case. But now, they're on appeal at this point. Meanwhile, now, hairstyle Letitia James, now she got caught and she's under investigation, and there's real fraud, there's real damage, and guess what, not only in the case with Letitia James, but also in the case with Big Fanny there here in Georgia, it looks like Trump is going to be able to recoup all that money spent on lawyers and all of that. One of the reasons is that here Governor Brian Kemp signed 2 tort reform bills into law that supported the General Assembly Republican majority business leaders across the state, which allows criminal defendants to recover attorney fees and legal costs if the prosecutor of their case is disqualified for misconduct and the case is dismissed. And so Trump has an opportunity to regain. In other words, here, the one case in New York's under appeal, he's going to win that case because now when she's going to be disqualified, Letitia James, in fact, she's probably going to go to jail. And she should, don't you think?
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, what she, you know, this is a part of the deep state, the whole deep state actions. Here, Palm Beach, Florida, President Donald Trump yesterday, or no, Sunday, blasted Harvard's secrecy when it comes to the university's large number of students from foreign countries. Here, why isn't Harvard saying that 31% of their students are from foreign lands, and yet, and these students from the foreign lands, they don't have to be excellent, and they don't have to have, you know, straight A's. I mean, you know, they get huge waivers. Do you know why they do?
Just because they're not white, right?
Well, no. That has something to do with it, actually, yeah. No, it's because of all the money coming in from the foreign countries. The money is reaching the pockets of the those there at Harvard, especially from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And he goes on to say, and yet these countries, some not all friendly to the United States, pay nothing toward their student education, nor do they ever intend to. Nobody told us that, okay? No, all they pay off is the officials at Harvard. So we want to know who those foreign students are. A reasonable request, since we give Harvard billions and billions of dollars, but Harvard isn't exactly forthcoming. We want to know those names and countries. And President Trump said Harvard has $52 million to use it. And stop asking for federal government to continue granting money to you for these foreign students. A WorldNet Daily reported Harvard has sued the federal government to keep the privilege of enrolling foreign students, a lucrative source of revenue for the college, as well as additionally a path to international influence. You know, what they do is they go judge shopping. They find out, you know, what judge they can buy, what, how much that judge is going to cost them. What do you, when you go out and you find these people and you pay them for illicit services, what are they called?
I'd call that a prostitute.
Yeah. Yeah, except for these ones don't wear miniskirts, they wear black robes, huh?
Right.
And so, Harvard has sued the federal government to keep the privilege of enrolling foreign students, a lucrative source of revenue for the college, as well, additionally, a path to international influence. Trump administration has revoked the school's student and exchange visitor program certification as a dispute over Harvard's decision to refuse to cooperate with the government on issues including student protest, anti-Semitism, and even cooperations with China explodes. Jews and white young white men aren't really welcome at Harvard nowadays. The administration has explained Harvard has refused to comply with a list of demands sent to the school of April regarding student protest, many being anti-Israel and pro-Hamas, anti-Semitism present on campus, and the allegations that the school has allowed infiltration by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, not only allowed it, you've got communism there. I mean, it's a cultural Marxist, hotbed of cultural Marxism. And so Harvard, in the latest lawsuit has brought against Trump administration, is claiming that the ending of its certification, a blatant violation of the First Amendment and the Due Process Clause and administrative procedure. And here, a federal judge in Harvard's backyard immediately came to the school's aid, yep, temporarily blocking the administration's decision to cancel the program. But we'll see how this works out. And, you know, again, the problem of it is on that Supreme Court, we don't have, there are those that, what you would call, that would sell America, they would sell out. You know, and you can't trust them. We have about three on that court that are, you can really call conservatives, you know, and that's it. The others, he can't. John Roberts, he's going to go with the flow. He's going to go remember what has taken place. And, you know, anyhow, Trump needs, he needs that court to back him. I got to make an announcement. I forgot to tell you that Tactical Civics, lawful, peaceful, and permanent. We're, you know, we're in a battle for America to keep our freedoms, folks. And here, taking America back one county at a time. Do you think there are too many criminals and not enough public servants in our government? Absolutely. Do you think the criminals need consequences? The servants need supervision? Absolutely. Do you think somebody should do something about it? If the answer is yes, join us to learn about the lawful, peaceful, permanent solution. Introduction to Tactical Civics Seminar for here in Northeast Ohio on Friday, this coming Friday, May 30th, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard at the Ransom Stage Farm. That's the Ransom Stage Farm at 505 Center Street in Chardon, Ohio. So I'll read that again. This coming Friday, May 30th at 7 p.m. at the Ransom Sage Farm, 505 Center Street in Chardon, Ohio. Come on out and learn tactical civics. And so that's what we got to do. So there's some things happening out there today. We're going to hear in the second part Senator Ron Johnson having had a hearing on the kill shots, which is very interesting. And I want to remind you folks out there as we go through this that Wendy Wilson, Sherry Tenpenny, we had them on this radio program 3 weeks before the first person took the first shot, and we were telling you what would happen. We told you that those are not vaccines. We over and over that those were bioweapons, and well, you'll hear Senator Johnson, and they start telling you what's been happening. Now, you've heard of the Southern Poverty Law Center style?
Yeah.
I call them the Southern Perversion Law style. They're really into pedophilia. They have labeled Charlie Kirk and Turning Point as a hate group. Okay, and what has happened here, the Democrats they've lost the male voters. They're very upset, they're angry, and they don't know why they've lost the young men, both white and black. They've lost those. They're leaving, they're jumping ship. They want nothing to do with the Democratic Communist Party. So you know what they're doing to fix that? They went and they rented Ritz Motel, and they spent $20 million. They're spending $20 million to find out, well, one, how they can dump woke words. $20 million, how they can dump woke words, and how they can get young men to want to come back to the Democratic Communist Party. You think that's going to work?
I don't think it's going to work, but I think they're going to try it over and over.
Oh, yeah. So now, do you know what the Democrats are up to now? They say they're suffering. There's a lot of the Democrats that are suffering. They want to sue Trump because of TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. And they're going to protest our military parades. I think it's on June 14th. They're going to protest it. But then they're really going to fix you and me. This is going to make us sorry that we didn't listen to them. They're saying, listen to this. This is serious. Then on the 4th of July, they're not going to set off any fireworks, and they're not going to even attend a firework demonstration. And that will make you and I very sorry that we didn't listen and do what they said. So,
how am I supposed to enjoy my day when I know that these people aren't going to be partaking? That's just going to kill me inside.
I know it's kind of tough even for all of our listeners out there tonight to know that when you're watching your fireworks, that the Democrats aren't. They won't do it. And that's supposed to make us feel bad. Well, speaking of feeling bad, do you know who Rod Blagojevich is, former governor of Illinois?
Yeah.
He's still a Democrat. But he came out and he said the Democratic Party has lost its mind. But he says this. He says that Adam Schiff is the king of all liars, according to, you know, Blagojevich, or to Rod Blagojevich. He's the king of all liars, that Adam's a better liar than Bill Clinton, than everybody. And so that really, in the Democratic Party, that's kind of an honorable position for them, isn't it?
Right.
No. But Joe, Sleepy Joe, he's got some problems. Have you heard about that lately?
I have.
He said that he's broke. Joe is broke. They don't have any money. No. Now, when they sold all those pardons, you know, the one that was done with those, with the speedy signature, when they sold all those pardons, apparently Joe was not cognizant or awake, and he didn't know where all the money went to. You don't think that it was his staff that got all that money, do you?
Oh, it just might be.
Joe said he didn't get it because he's broke. He said he's broke. You don't think there's a whole lot of Biden money, say, in the Canaan Islands and places?
You know, I'm not hearing that Hunter's broke.
Yeah. So here, you know, now this Jake Tapper and the other fake news media, they're saying that it wasn't their fault. Tapper, you know, but he really got his clock cleaned by several people in the book he wrote for lying. You know, because they went back and they played all the clips of him saying things that he denied he ever said, right? And so here now, it looks like that they're claiming, those in the fake news media are saying, that Biden's people lied to them about Biden's condition, okay? That they had no way of knowing that Biden, you know, was becoming incompetent. And so, who was it, do you think, when you watched television and you saw Joe Biden there in a trance, who was it that was filming that? If you were to turn on different channels, where would you see that?
I mean,
mostly on Fox News, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, though, anytime Biden was on TV, I feel like you'd see it anywhere. They didn't really hide it.
So you had all these people from what they call the legacy movement nowadays, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, they were all there at these events, right? And they were supposed to be filming these events, even if they didn't show it. So how could they say they didn't know it because they didn't show it when all the rest of us could see Joe stumbling around and seeing him sometime like he was in trances? And so, boy, I'm going to tell you, they just can't stop lying, can they?
It's almost like they realized when they tried to push the narrative, anybody but Trump, that, oh, we could get someone like this in office. And we can't possibly have the idea that we look bad or we look dumb, so we're just not going to talk about that.
Well, they took a poll, and they found out that people actually said that they would rather have Joe Biden, okay, Joe Biden in a coma than Kamala Harris in the White House.
You know, that doesn't shock me.
That's pretty bad, even among Democrats. That's amazing. No telling what she might have done in there. Anyhow, now here, check this out. Remember, we told you about this when Obama came out and said, if he could do it, instead of a third term, he would, if he could have a puppet out there where he could be sitting in his basement with a microphone telling the puppet what to say and what to do. Well, we kind of seen that to a large extent, didn't we? In other words, they were telling you, they were broadcasting what they were actually going to do. And we saw that to an extent with Joe Biden, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much what it was. It was everyone behind the scenes pulling the strings. He had no idea where he was at.
Yeah. And so, here, do you know what just happened in Seattle just over the weekend?
What was that?
There was a lot of Christians, and the Christians wanted to protest this trans thing and the things that they were doing to the children in public schools. And so the city of Seattle would not let the Christians meet where they wanted to meet. They had the park area they wanted to have. But do you know what the place that they gave them to meet, where it was?
Where was that?
It was right next door to the sodomite camp, to the LGBTQ sodomite camp there. So you had these Christians come out to have their rally against this sin, and especially pedophilia, and they were attacked. They were attacked by hundreds of sodomites came out of, after them. And the mayor, set it up. He was the one behind it. He called the Christians an extreme right-wing group. And then he turned around and said, I know, I myself am a Christian. That guy was no Christian, believe me. He's no Christian. He's the one that set them up.
Right.
And now we see out there in Nashville, Tennessee, we see the mayor in Nashville. Do you know what Nashville is known for nowadays?
It used to be music. What's it known for now? The liberals?
Well, no, there's a great big illegal drug business in Nashville.
Oh, even better.
The drug cartels there are making big money, okay. And there's a lot of child sex trafficking. And the mayor, he wants to protect that. They want to protect the, they say that these illegal aliens, you know, they're people too. So who are they doing? They're protecting the drug dealers and the child sex traffickers there in Nashville. And so there you go. That's what's kind of happening around the country. And so with that, one of the other things, a good thing that happened, you know, was there was a lady who was a state representative, and she was silenced by the Democrats, and she took her case to the Supreme Court, and she won. State Representative Laura Libby in Maine, she's a Republican in Maine, the U.S. Supreme Court issued an unsigned order instructing the Maine state legislature to revoke its censure of Republican State Representative Laura Libby. Libby had been in the penalty box of the Democrats' majority in the legislature since February when she commented on social media about a boy who won a girls' athletic competition in the state. Oh, that just happened again today, or I think it was just over the weekend, where in track, some trans thing, one of the trans thing, he just came way, way out in front of all those girls. And now they realize, see, we've known for years that there's a big difference between men and women. I mean, I've known that for years. Have you known that?
I'd like to think I do.
Well, you know, the Democrats didn't know. They didn't catch on yet. I mean, they hadn't.
Right.
Still haven't figured out what a woman is yet. We knew that years and years ago, what a woman was. I could have pointed out if you'd asked me, do you see a woman in here? I could have pointed right to them. And even as a kid, I could have told you that women are mothers and daughters and grandmas and aunts. That's what women are. Women are females. We knew that. Of course, now, that's pretty deep for, you know, not all Democrats could go to Harvard or Yale. You know, you learn, you know, you're supposed to learn that, you know, if you spend enough money to get an education, that things that we learn out here today, and this is why you have so many of these young white males that, young males and actually of all races are really today, they're not going to college, they're going to trade schools. And do you know why they're going to trade schools?
Why is that?
Because they were discriminated against in the colleges, but not just that. That's where the money's at. That's where the money's at.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, we have people there in New York. There are plumbers and electricians in New York that are making as much money as MDs. And some of them actually, some of these plumbers, believe it or not, are actually making more money than lawyers. And so here you've got all these young men now. They're going to trade schools because there's a big need for trade school for people out there, whether they're, you know, we don't have mechanics. Do you remember in the days where you'd take your car into a garage and there'd be a mechanic there? Not today. They're called technicians. And but they're making very good money going to these trade schools and not going to Harvard or Yale, you know, which are nothing but hotbeds of Marxist indoctrination centers. And so that's where so many of the young women go. But now that's starting to change, too. A lot of them now are starting to say, you know, they're actually wanting to go to trade schools, too. They're figuring things out. Because they spent all that time going to college, and then they get out, and they found out they're stupid. That they didn't get an education at all. They got indoctrinated. And they go to get a job someplace, and they're told, you're not qualified here. What did you learn? And they said, well, DEI. We learn how to be woke, right? And they're being told, woke don't get it here, okay? But anyhow, I bet you knew a lot of that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's because you're there with Paul Schiffer.
That's why.
Now, let me ask you, are you teaching him this stuff, or is he teaching you?
And it depends on the subject matter.
All right. Okay, we're coming up to a break. When we come after the break, we're going to listen to a clip about the hearings that's taking place. And, well, we'll be right back after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come. So he's doing the count again. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 4, 2.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.